So the reading is in two parts. The first part is from John 13, verses 34 to 35, which is on page 1082 of the Pew Bibles. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And the next part is from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, which is on page 1208. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Okay, Jade, do you want to come up? Jade's going to speak to us tonight. Can I pray for you?
Yeah, go for it.
Lord, I just pray that you'll bless Jade as she speaks to us tonight. You'll use her to give us the message of whatever it is you want to say, and I pray that our hearts and minds will be open to your message. And I ask this in your name. Amen.
Thank you. Wonderful. Well, good evening, everyone. Cool. It's an absolute pleasure of mine to be here with you this evening, drawing our sermon series to a close. We've been looking at doing family, and this evening we're looking at communication. So I'm going to jump straight in with it. It's absolutely no secret that we are living in the era of virtual communication, right? At the drop of a hat, you can send a message in a millisecond, and it can reach the other side of the world. And we are in an era of social media and messenger and apps and all that kind of thing, which can kind of make it feel like a virtual correspondence future is the way we're headed and is the only way forward. But this evening, I kind of want to talk to you a little bit about other ways to communicate, why we do it, and how we do it, and what scripture can say to back that up as well. So I'm going to hold my hands up and say that I am guilty of being that friend where if we go out for lunch or we go out for dinner, I'm probably going to have my phone in my hand, either in my hand or my pocket or on the table. And it might be a generational thing, it might not be, but in the era that we're in, with the abundance of apps and games and things that are accessible to us, like in the drop of a hat, it's really common to see somebody with their phone in their hand. It's almost habitual. So I'm definitely guilty of that, as I'm sure many of us across all age demographics can be at some point. But there is a benefit to that. So if you'll allow me to digress slightly, I want to share with you one of my favorite games to play. It's called the tabletop game. Has anyone heard of it? No? No? Okay, so this game is where if you're going out to eat or you're going to a meal, or you're going somewhere where you have to pay at the end with friends, what you do is you put your phones in a pile on a table or somewhere, and the kind of aim of the game is whoever is first to get a notification pays for the entire thing. It's fantastic. So it's brilliant, it's foolproof, because you can guarantee that somebody is going to get a message, whether it's a text from a friend or a call from a loved one or a work email, which has definitely not lost me the game one or two times, Will, no hard feelings. But anyway, I don't mean to make this a anti-phones, anti-technology talk. That's not where I'm going at all. What I wanted to get into is just different modes of communication. So my family, I come from a Scottish family. Is anyone here Scottish? Yeah. Yeah, so you'll know what I'm talking about when I say, in a Scottish family, we don't shut up. And I mean that, well, online, we've got this family group chat where it's we can send encouragements, we can send negative things that we want like support from, or we can talk about pointless football banter, the whole Rangers versus Celtic, that kind of thing. And it's great. But when things go south and we're in person, it lacks a little bit, the vibrancy is a little bit off, and I'm not ashamed to share that with you because I'm sure that's common amongst some of us. I know last week when Paul mentioned conflict, he mentioned that communication is key to solving that kind of thing. And he was right. He was exactly right. Effective communication is the glue to happy family life. And it's more than that. It's the foundation, isn't it? It's the foundation for community, intimacy, and relationship. And unfortunately, ironically, it's easier said than done. So, how do you talk to people in your family? Or more importantly, how should you? What does the Bible say? For starters, communication, Jesus, ace at it. Really, really good. There are countless verses in the Bible where Jesus is sharing wisdom or telling stories, and he talks and he talks and he talks, to the point where he sometimes tires himself out. But Jesus also models another key component to effective communication, which is he listens, and he listens well. More often than not, we, that's all of us, can be the people in a conversation where you're listening just to respond. So you're listening to the other person, but you're waiting for that moment where you can interject, whether it's with something that you think is maybe more important that you want to say, or something that you feel is just worth waiting. Oh, well, I'll let that person finish, and then I'll jump in with my part of the conversation. My part's going to be important. So that's point number one. I'm going to make 3 points this evening for tips for effective communication, you can call it. And tip number one, really simple, is just to listen. So, listening. Why are we engaging in conversation in the first place? Again, is it for our gain, or is it to simply slide in with something that we really want to say? Listening to somebody and listening really closely with intent and purpose is so invaluable. When a person feels valued and knows with conviction that what they're saying to you and what they're sharing with you is going to be validated and loved and received well, it's going to make communication a whole lot easier. And it's going to build that foundation for the community thing that I mentioned earlier. Community and intimacy can be built on that foundation of listening and feeling valued. Relationships can't be built on shaky foundations. We see that talked about in the Bible as well. And there's somebody called Ralph G. Nichols, who has been called the father of listening. Really great guy. And he sums it up quite well. And he says, the most basic of all human needs is the need to understand and be understood. And the best way to understand people is to listen to them. And that resonates. That's true, isn't it? You want to feel like you're being listened to in a conversation. And you want to feel like your voice is being heard and that you're not being misinterpreted and there's no kind of barrier there. So it goes both ways. To communicate well, you need to listen to each other and you need to listen with intent. You might not always hear what you want to hear, but you need to listen nonetheless. Validate what each other is saying, how they're feeling. That's the first step. Feeling validated in what you're feeling, what you're saying. That's it. So once you've listened, you can work towards responding, which is where the tricky part is, isn't it? Once you've listened to somebody, working out what to say to them and how to respond can be kind of the difficult part. That leads me really nicely onto my second point. So we've got listening, and my second point is learning. So on that note, I am going to do something that I know some of you dread, but it wouldn't be a talk on communication if I didn't make you talk to each other, would it? So I'm going to give you 1 minute, and I would like you to turn to the person next to you and tell them a funny story. Go. Okay, minute's coming to an end. Draw your stories to a close. Okay. So I actually heard some laughter, which means some of you are quite funny, clearly. But as I was looking around the room, I could definitely see some faces that maybe had a hint of grimace and a little bit of, please don't talk to me, I'm just here to listen kind of thing. And what I want to say to you is that's okay. That's perfectly fine. Because the way that different people communicate is across this broad spectrum of techniques and styles. And some people are really into the talk to your neighbor thing, and you might call them introverts. And other people on the other end of the spectrum, you might call them introverts, that kind of thing. But there are multiple different ways that people communicate effectively to one another that they prefer to use. So that's my second point, is you need to learn that. So some of you may have heard of this, but Dr. Gary Chapman wrote a book called 5 Love Languages. We heard of the love languages before? Yeah, some nods around the room. Let me just refresh your memory on what they are. So they are modes of communicating love between people that they prefer and are better at. So we've got 1, words of affirmation, which is using words to build one another up, to encourage one another, that kind of thing. We've got gift giving, self-explanatory, give someone a gift, works wonders with me, just a hint. Acts of service, so doing things for people, maybe it's your partner doing the washing up every once in a blue moon, or cooking for someone, that kind of thing. And then you've got quality time, which is just spending time with each other, and you've got physical touch. So those are some really great examples of communicating love, and I think it's a really brilliant model in general for the fact that we all communicate differently. And a step towards communicating clearly is to learn how your brother, your sister, your mom, your father, that kind of thing, how they communicate. And once you try to learn that, you're a step closer. And we see that in the Bible as well. So you've got people like David, 2 Samuel 6:14. David danced before the Lord. So he communicates with God through singing and dancing, which is great. And then you've got John 8, 1-11. Jesus choosing to communicate a message to sinners by writing in the sand, which is not your first thought of a way to communicate, is it? But Jesus chooses a different route because it's suited to the situation. And then you've got Lazarus, who didn't even speak at all, and Jesus still considered him a really close friend. So if you're going to nail this communication thing, you're going to need to explore different ways to communicate within your family. And what works for you isn't necessarily going to work for somebody else, and that's okay. That's what I want to tell you today, guys. That's okay. And what's also okay is that a step towards figuring out what's right is figuring out what's wrong. So you're going to fail and you're going to get it wrong. And part of honest communication is, it's a given. You're going to fail sometimes. You are going to get it wrong. But it's what you do after the getting it wrong part that is going to shape the way that your family communicates. So we heard the reading earlier from Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So encouragement. How do you pick yourself back up after you've failed at trying to communicate effectively? You need to lead with love and with encouragement at the center of your conversations. If you're going forward to try and encourage someone, you can guarantee that that conversation is going to go better than if that's not at your forefront of your mind. And that brings me quite nicely into my third and final point, which is, so we've had one, listen, two, learn, and three, lead with love. So I think that kind of the ultimate goal that you should want to take from any kind of attempt at communication with families where it's a bit tricky or it's not going so well is that you all want to come out of that conversation or of that act of communication still feeling loved and still feeling validated. And that's going to be the key point to moving forward with the situation. Expressing love is a natural ingredient to making any family life work, isn't it? It's a powerful tool. It encourages, it uplifts, and if we're approaching each conversation and each interaction with love in mind at the forefront, things might not always fall into place, but love can soften the blow when they fall out of place. And there's comfort in the knowledge that you're loved. Have you told your family members that you love them recently? Have you heard it recently? It's as John says in 13:34, love one another. So we listen well, we learn, and we lead with love, just as he loved us. Amen? Oh, Will?
Thank you. Well done.